Tonight I want to share a thought with you that I've been pondering for a couple of weeks now with our youth group. Every month we have what we call a memory verse that we will look at and begin to meditate on. And two of the memory verses, the one for last month and the one for this month, is taken from Colossians chapter 4. And I've been meditating on these verses. And I want to share a thought with you tonight from these verses. If I were to entitle it tonight, I would entitle it, Making the Most of Every Opportunity. Making the Most of Every Opportunity. In the book of Colossians, one of the books in the Bible, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in the church there that were faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And he says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. That's where I get my title from. King James says, redeeming the time. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Now, Paul, at this particular point in time, when he's writing this letter, he's in prison. He's in prison, and he's in a very difficult place. He's in a trying place, a trying time in his life, a trying time in his journey, in his walk in this life, in his walk with the Lord. Yet, he knows that he is there in this particular place to be a light, to be a testimony at this stage in his journey, at this stage in his life. And you see that in the verse we just read there, the latter part of verse 3, where he says, that is why I am here in chains. The first part says, pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Paul was told from a very early stage that he was going to have to suffer and go through things, that he was going to stand for Christ before leaders and be a testimony, that he would be chained, led in chains to this particular point and stage in his life. So he was told, he knew and understood that he was going to go through some difficult days, difficult times. And folks, we're not strangers to that either. Are you with me tonight? Jesus warned us about the trying times that would come, the difficult days that would be ahead. But Paul doesn't, by the grace of God, he doesn't stay in that place where he is focused on his difficulties, focus on the trials at hand, focus on those things. He's not wallowing in self-pity, if you will. He is able, by the grace of God, to take his eyes off himself and to look to the Lord. He's able to look to God, and as a result, he's able to focus not on his current battle, his current struggles, his current difficulties, but on the eternal purposes of God. Hallelujah. He is there to point others to Christ, and he knows it. You and I must recognize the same thing by the grace of the living God. You have to come to the point where even in the midst of your difficulty, I have to come to the point where even in the midst of my difficult place, that I recognize God has a plan. Hallelujah. That God wants to do something. Do you find yourself in a difficult place tonight? Do you find yourself, those of you online that are streaming this evening, this webcast, do you find yourself in a trying time, in a trying moment in your life this evening? Don't let anything take your song, your testimony, or your voice. The Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, said this. He said, I'm in prison, but the word of God is not and cannot be chained. Hallelujah. It cannot be bound. We are Christ's ambassadors. I think of our young people who recently, about a little bit over a month and a half ago, who were in France. My wife and I, we led a team of young adults on a missions trip. There were 16 young adults and my wife and I, which made 18 of us. And we were there to minister the gospel, and it was a time where We were so excited about what God was going to do, but many of the young people on this particular team began to go through some certain things. Some of them fell sick. Some of them were having problems sleeping. The enemy was doing everything he could to intimidate the team, to distract the team, to cause the team, to silence the team, to get them to focus on their own needs, their own concerns. 2 days into the trip, I myself had my own things I had to deal with. I was talking with my dad. He had asked that I give him a call to let him know that we had arrived safely. And when I gave him a call, I could hear in his voice, something in his voice. And I began to ask him, what's going on? What's going on? And he began to share with me how the doctors have given my mom 6 months to live. 6 months to live. And I have got to tell you, just like you, all of a sudden, I was hit with the reality of what is going on at that moment. And so all I could do was lift my eyes to the heavens, just like you have to. Lift my eyes to the Lord. Lift my eyes to Jesus, like we sing. I had to lift my eyes, just like Misty just sang in that song. Lift my eyes to the Lord and begin to just say, God, I need you. I need your help. I'm here to lead this team. I'm here on a mission. I am here. I've got to preach. I've got to sing. I've got to testify. I've got to do everything that you sent us here to do, God. I've got to be an example to these young people. And so, Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace. And I just began to close my eyes and lift my heart to the Lord. And our team at that particular time, our team was marching right into the sanctuary of a church. Every night we were in a different city ministering in a church. And I had to lift my eyes to the Lord. Our team was marching in to get ready to minister into this church. We would do a concert every night in whatever church we found ourselves in. And our team was marching in when I got the news, and all I could do was lift my heart to the Lord, my hands to the Lord, and say, God, you have to help me. I give this to you. I give this to you. And folks, God was faithful. He gave me the grace to do what I had to do to keep my eyes off myself and to yield to God. Yes, at different points in the team and on the trip, I had a lump rise in my throat, come up into my throat, but the Lord gave me the grace so that the mission could be accomplished, and we came back with an incredible report of what God had done. God was glorified. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? God was glorified and did what he had to do, and I was able to do what I had to do. So folks, I'm not talking to you from some ivory tower where everything is peachy keen all the time. Paul, at a particular point in time, at an earlier point in time, he's with a young man named Silas. They are ministering in the streets, ministering to people. A young girl gets touched by God. She is a fortune teller. And all of a sudden, that spirit that was on her, that caused her and gave her that ability to tell fortunes, released her. And she, all of a sudden, found herself free. And those that were her employers no longer could use her for their gain. And so they go to the leaders of the city, the magistrate, and they have Paul and Silas thrown in prison. The Bible says at midnight, during that difficult moment, difficult stage, difficult time, these men began to pray and began to sing. But guess what? All the prisoners around them heard them while they were singing and praying. God was able to use them to minister to those around them. Praise the living God. The Apostle Peter writes this. He says, even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. He is in control. He has everything under control. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in gentleness and in a respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Hallelujah. Paul writes to the Colossian church in chapter 4, verse 5, which we read, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. He says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive. In other words, let the grace of God that has permeated your life, let it touch everything and be a testimony where you are. Be a living witness. Let the grace of God cause the Christ in you to be exalted and clearly seen. For Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. He says, don't do anything that will be a bad advertisement for Jesus, if you will, so that you'll have a correct response for those that are around you. Hallelujah. So that you'll be able to minister to those that are around you, so that you can still be used of God in the midst of your situation and present circumstance. The grace of God was upon Paul to encourage others during this difficult time, difficult moment. As a result, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write to us in that very same chapter to these words, devote yourselves to prayer. That's the source of your strength. Devote yourself. Go to God. Call on his name. Ask him to come, and he will. Do it with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Basically, that means the word devote there means be earnest in your prayers. Earnest towards your prayers. Persevere in your prayers. Be constantly diligent in praying, going to God. Cling closely to him in prayer. Remain constant in your prayers. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Continue steadfastly therein. Our persistence is an expression of our faith in the God who answers prayer. Our perseverance, our persistence is an expression of our faith in the God who answers prayer. After a while of praying, though, sometimes we can become listless. In other words, have or show little or no interest in praying for a specific thing. We can become indifferent, especially if we've been waiting for an answer for some time. Are you with me tonight? So Paul encourages us as believers to continue to devote ourselves to prayer. Talk to the Lord throughout the day. You know, sometimes we complicate this thing. You know, we complicate this thing. You think maybe you've got to speak swelling words and you've got to be on your knees. You know, me, if I try to pray on my knees, folks, it's all she wrote. In a moment, you'll just hear. I can't do it. Many can. God bless you, but I can't pray on my knees. I can do it for a little bit, but if my head is buried in the sofa or in a chair for too long a time, I'm just giving the devil plenty of fuel. He'll just come to me and he'll go to sleep, go to sleep. He'll just pat my head and I'll be out in moments, in just moments. So I've got to pace and pray. I walk back and forth. Somehow that just helps me to stay focused when I pray. Folks, whatever it takes, don't stop talking to Jesus. Just talk to him. Talk to him throughout your day. Talk to him in your daily commute. Talk to him. He wants to hear your voice. As a matter of fact, he says, your face is lovely. Your face is lovely. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. That's what he says. Paul was saying, keep that line of communication open between you and God. Don't let anything get in the way. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14, tells us that the disciples met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, who actually had just lost her son. Think about that. Several other women and brothers of Jesus were there in that prayer meeting as well, who had just lost their brother. Think about it. How were they to pray? The scripture says, number one, they were to devote themselves to prayer with an alert mind. This basically says, with strict attention, paying strict attention to your prayer time. In other words, being mindful that the enemy will do everything he possibly can to distract you and to deter you from that time of prayer. So watch out. Be alert. Be mindful. We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. From distractions of the enemy to the weakness of our own flesh, things will come and try and keep us out of that place of prayer. Luke, Jesus said this one day to his disciples. He said, you need to always pray and never to give up. Another translation puts it this way. It's necessary for you to pray consistently and never to quit, not to faint, not to get tired. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. But secondly, he says, with a thankful heart, which basically means just be grateful. Be thankful. Show gratitude to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18 says, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. This is the will of God concerning you. Have you ever met someone who never has anything positive to say? All they do is complain. Complain, complain, complain. The glass is always half empty. They walk around, it's like there's a cloud over their heads, and you start talking to them, and all of a sudden that cloud covers you. And then you walk away and you wonder, man, what just happened? What just hit me? What was that? We've got to remind ourselves of what the Lord has said and done, folks, from time to time. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 103 said, my soul praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He says, my soul praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. Folks, people in New York do it all the time. Nobody's going to think anything strange if you're just working it out. Sometimes we got to talk to ourselves. The psalmist said, my soul praise the Lord, and never forget how kind he is. Never forget his benefits. He forgives all our sins. Somebody say all. He forgives all our sins, hallelujah, and heals all our sicknesses. He saves us from the grave. He gives us love and compassion. Has he ever saved your life? I said, has he ever saved your skin? Has he ever protected you? Has he ever delivered you? He gives us plenty of good things. He makes us young like an eagle that grows new feathers. Hallelujah. Who are they to pray for? The Apostle Paul writes to whom he was writing. Number one, they were to pray for themselves. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Talk to the Lord. Talk to God about what's going on with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Remember to give thanks. Remind yourself of how good God has been. For God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart to him. He's a very present help in time of need. But that's not all. In verse 3, he says, pray for us too. So they weren't not only to pray for themselves, but to pray for others. And that's what we've been doing tonight. That's what we do on Tuesday nights. Hallelujah. Pray for others as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Hallelujah. Pray for all believers everywhere. Another question. What were they to pray for in this instance? In this particular instance. And I want you to hear me tonight, because we're going to pray for this tonight. This is my burden. He says, pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Concerning Christ. What is that plan? It is simply the plan of salvation. It's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news of the gospel. In Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, he says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. That the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike, for Jews and non-Jews. He said, I'm in chains now. So he's writing to the Ephesian believers as well. And he says, I'm in prison. He's writing to them from prison. He says, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. Still preaching. I'm in prison, but I'm still preaching. Hallelujah. If I'm going to be, they're going to put me in prison. Now I'm going to start a prison ministry. You can't keep me down. You can't quiet me. I've got a reason to praise him. He says, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. This was Paul's prayer. Therefore, you and I can ask and should ask for the same thing. Our prayer should be also that God will give us many opportunities to speak about Jesus and the salvation that is found in him. Even if it's just one person at a time, folks. Our focus should be on being a light in the midst of whatever and wherever we find ourselves. Paul also prayed that God would allow him, he wanted them to pray that God would allow him to speak clearly as he should, simply as he should. And we're going to pray for that tonight. We're going to pray for one another tonight and believe God for that. Where do we get the strength to be kingdom-minded in this way, though? In the midst of our trials, testings, where do we get the strength? The Apostle Paul recognized that in himself he couldn't do it. In his own strength, he could do nothing. He needed God's help, and he was not ashamed to admit it. That's why in the same book, in the same letter in Colossians, he says this in chapter 1, verse 25, 28 and 29. He says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. In verse 28, he says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God's given us. He said, whatever wisdom God has given you, share it. Doesn't matter if you're 2 days old in the Lord. Just tell somebody, talk to somebody about what God has done. He says, we want to present them to God, mature in their relationship to Christ. He says, that's why I work and struggle so hard. He said, I work and it's a struggle at times. It's a struggle at times. He says, but I do it depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. There is the key, folks. He says, it's God's mighty power. This word power is the same word found in Acts chapter 1 where it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's supernatural power. It's inherent power. It's miracle working power. Hallelujah. It's the power that Pastor Ham talked about tonight earlier. Supernatural power, supernatural God that is able to enable us to be a testimony. Holy Ghost power. It's the energy God so generously gives when we ask him. Power to make the most out of every opportunity for the glory of God and the souls of men. Bless his holy name.